This Friday is First Friday, and all around our area, it means it's another time for another round of First Friday art events. That's in Bemidji, it's in Grand Rapids, it's in other communities in the KAXE and KBXE listening areas. And this morning, we get to talk with Al Bellavo, a sculptor from Poposky. Al works mostly with stone and iron, two materials that he says are quite common in northern Minnesota. His sculptures can be whimsical or comedic or serious and melancholy. This Friday, Al is talking about his work at the Northwest Minnesota Foundation, and that starts at 6 o'clock. And Al's here this morning to talk with us about his sculptures. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Bemidji.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, now tell us about, we were just talking about another sculptor, and we were talking about studios. Tell us about your workspace and the work that you do.
Well, I basically see things, and I make things, and I fix things. I've been welding since I was 5 years old, and just continue to do that with enormous amounts of enthusiasm, because I love what I do.
Where do you find your materials?
They're just laying around. They really are. They're laying all over the place. Rocks, a lot of my rocks come from Lake Superior, and the iron is kind of just laying all around. I also go to Bemidji Steel and purchase iron
you
for
go
creating
to
sculptures.
The steel and the junkyards, or just people's yards, or
people
back 40?
People come and dump stuff off at my place. You know, I'll just get home at night, and there'll be a little pile of iron sitting there by my shop, and maybe I'll make something out of it, or maybe somebody else will wander by and make something out of it. So
I was treated to walk through his yard just last week, Maggie, and I can confirm that he doesn't turn much down.
Yeah. What's that shop look like inside?
It looks like creativity exploded. And both the shop and the yard, that's where it all landed.
It's not white.
And I feel very, very comfortable with that.
There's nothing white.
It's not what you would consider feng shui.
I assume you wear, like, protective goggles and things. You'd get all dressed up.
Personal protective equipment, PPE.
It's
kind of like putting armor on. Mm-hmm. And you got to arm yourself for battle as you battle with the elements. And so, yeah, it's heavy cotton, leather. Most of us welders wear these pretty caps because we kind of work in a very dark and dismal world. And so we want to bring a little sunshine in, so we wear a little flowery caps.
My God, are you yin and yang with your wife?
Okay, so when you're welding, you use this really hot
3,000 degrees or so, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's creation. It's really just the bubbling, oozing, undulating materials. It's very much you feel a part of creation.
Origins of the Galaxy type
Absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you're... Okay, so... well, describe... Somebody here. Describe the... Al's work, if you see it, you know it, and you say, yeah, that's Al. Al did that. You have smooth North Shore-ish type stones, and you wrap thick gauge metal wire stuff around them and make all sorts of things.
Yeah, we call it rock iron art, and because I've been welding since I was a child, I've been taking stones home since I was a child also, you know, and I feel kind of a relationship with these stones. To some extent, I probably anthropomorphize them, and even though they seem inanimate, they feel very adamant to me, and I believe that there's a conversation going on there. A good friend and another sculptor that presented last month at our Meet the Bemidji Sculpture Walk, Meet the Artist event was Simon Zorns, who lives just down the road here on 3rd Street, or that's his mom's place, and a lot of his rock art you'll see there, and also the same thing where there's an internal soul-like conversation with the stone that, what would you like to be today? And some stones participate to a certain extent, and then they decide, you know, I want to do what a stone does. I want to get smaller. And so then they'll explode inside of their cherry red cages of steel as I'm trying to capture them. And then they go
out
someplace, and they become smaller. You know, that's what they do.
Oh, that was a literal explosion.
What? Yeah. What's the biggest piece you ever made?
Oh, that was a giraffe a few years ago. I had made a female form out of chain because I had some chain that was laying around in the shop, and then that eventually ended up down at the Minnesota Historical Society in St. Paul in the Rotunda, and one of their board members saw that and asked me, "Hey, could you?" I was hoping he was going to buy it because, you know, as an artist, it's nice if people occasionally buy your things so that you can afford to make more of them. But he says, "Hey, could you make a giraffe out of chain?" And I was like, "Sure." And so then 3.5 years later, this 18.5 foot tall giraffe wandered off to St. Peter, Minnesota to hang out in a field with some elephants that this gentleman already had out there in his field.
Oh, so. It didn't stay at the Historical Society. Oh, bummer.
No. Oh, so it's you can
it's
see
private.
It on Highway 169 as you're heading down to St. Peter. It's off in a field.
What? You brought a piece in today. Describe this.
Yeah, I have birds. I like birds. And this is a rockabye birdie. My wife named it. I would have called it stone bird. But my partner, Kate, birdie. Is... pretty good at words, and so I like those. I like the birds. I don't make many of them. They're labor intensive, and I can't really charge that much for them. But they're love. They're just calming to me. You know, they have a certain activity to them. They look like they're getting ready to fly, or they've just roosted. But and then I also brought in my forage goddess, which weighs about 45 pounds.
Wow.
She has. A very zen look on her face as she's often on top of my blacksmith forge as I'm creating different things. She looks like she approves, actually.
The bird has two stones, a larger one for the body and a smaller one for the head right up front, and it is attached with, twisted iron.
It's rock iron art. Blacksmiths created what they call a blacksmith basket, and oftentimes you see it today as handles on handles for cupboards or doorknobs, or you see it in pickets on railings and stuff like that.
Toilet paper rolls. My God, Al, can you make a simple toilet paper roll?
Not simple.
Go!
Okay.
All right, we'll talk later.
And so what you do is you twist the steel shut, and so you have twisted steel, and then you heat it up and you twist the steel in the opposite direction, and the molecules of the steel kind of expand, and so instead of just untwisting and going straight again, they kind of loop out into this basket. And I go a little bit beyond basket, stuff a stone in, and crank it down tight, and now I've captured the stone, and it's just a very temporary capture. It's maybe a couple hundred years, and eventually this iron will rot away, and the stone will do what they like to do, which is get smaller. The metaphor is that the stone is the grandfather, or it is the ancient one, and or the soul, and the steel is just this very temporary covering, which is our flesh, basically, something that allows us to be animated for a short little while within a very limited structure of physical reality. And so that's really what's going on there. And I'm very excited about it because it's really, really cool to be able to create these metaphors of what I believe our particular existence is all about.
Well, the talk you're doing on Friday night is sponsored by the group called Bemidji Sculpture Walk. Tell us about that group and some of the work that's being done in Bemidji.
Yeah, the Bemidji Sculpture Walk is a group of very dedicated volunteers that put art out in the streets of Bemidji. And so Bemidji actually becomes an open-air gallery. It's both a sculpture gallery, and it's also because we have a preponderance of murals around town. It is basically an art gallery. And you know, there's many folks that have their opinions about art and galleries and such, and they probably would never set foot into an actual art gallery with quotes. But our town is an art gallery, and the visual art that you see around our town is merely the fruiting body of a mushroom that has a much deeper network of mycelium, which is all the other art that's going on, the art that you portray here, the practicing for music, and then the actual performances that go on, the very quiet people that are sitting in the coffee shop that are writing their notes about what they're feeling about life, their poetry, their prose, their stories, and all of the other. Just, this is an art town. This is a literal mecca. It draws people in, and the sculpture walk is just a visual aid in understanding where you actually are.
There are a lot of dragonflies out there this year. Tell us about those.
The dragonflies are similar to the cows of Chicago. We did a project a few years ago, the Bemidji Beavers, was a very popular project, actually worldwide acclaim, put us on the map for a little while. And so the committee got together and we just really debated for a long time what type of fiberglass sculpture. These fiberglass sculptures come from Cow Painters, which is a woman-owned company in Chicago, and they produce fiberglass blanks for cities all over the country and the world, that it allows two-dimensional artists to work on a three-dimensional canvas, which I've been told by the artists that have done this, expands their vision, and it's just a neat project. So this year we have dragonflies.
They're awesome.
That's pretty neat. And Al, you're a 3D artist, so this must be no surprise to you that it would expand somebody's consciousness to work in a third dimension, huh?
Yeah, well, third, fourth, fifth dimension, you know, dimensions are unlimited, actually.
In fact, Al didn't even drive here. He just snapped his fingers and appeared, so that was really cool.
Got that whole Star Trek transporter thing down good now. Mm-hmm. I also want to talk about the Bemidji Studio Cruise.
Okay.
Just quickly, because I'm a part of that. That's about 30 artists within the region. In October 16th through the 18th, you can drive around, come to people's studios. My studio looks like there was a creative explosion in it. I don't clean it up much for folks. I try to make it safe, but it is what it is. And many other studios, and there are some very clean, very tidy studios, and go visit those also. But you can get your brochures at the Chamber of Commerce, at the Watermark Arts Center. We have postcards and maps are coming out very soon. And it is a cruise. Hop in your car, drive around, live or be in the environment that the artists work in. People out at my place get to pick up torches and welders and try their hand at creation themselves.
All right. Well, that's a 3,000-degree invitation from Al for the studio cruise in October. Al, thank you so much for coming in. You'll be speaking this Friday, September 4th, at the Northwest Minnesota Foundation. There are lots of events going on around Bemidji and in other towns in our region this Friday because it is First Friday. Mm-hmm. And for the Bemidji event, you can visit watermarkartcenter.org for more information. This interview is part of Area Voices, telling the arts, cultural, and historical stories of northern Minnesota. Area Voices is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.